I'm particularly excited to introduce this episode because, listeners, it's Holy Media's one-year anniversary. A year ago, Holy Media started out with two brief overview episodes about movies and comics. And so to commemorate the show's beginning and to tie into the culmination of the annual Comic-Con in San Diego, we're revisiting the idea of religion in comic books. Joining me by telephone, so forgive the rough audio, to speak about religion and comics is A. David Lewis. David has his PhD in religion and literature from Boston University, and he's a founding member of Sacred and Sequential, an online organization highlighting comic book scholarship. He is also the author of American Comics, Literary Theory and Religion, and one of the editors of Graven Images, Religion in Comic Books and Graphic Novels. So welcome to the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So just to kind of get us started, when people think about comics or, comic books, they're usually thinking of superheroes or collector's items or cosplay, and religion doesn't really come to mind. So for the purposes of our conversation, can you kind of just explain what religion does actually have to do with comic books?
Absolutely. I think there are really four ways that religion and comic books interact. And the first one's probably the most familiar one to any comic book readers, and that is using religion just in the content of a story, whether that's a real-world religion or a fantastical, fictional religion. Vice versa, there have been religious groups that have used comics either to share their message or to get out information all along the way. That can similarly be flipped to religion criticizing comics and to comics criticizing religion. One further way, this would be the third way I'd suggest that they interact, is that you mentioned cosplay, right?
Yes.
Well, these comic book conventions and the fandoms and the elaborate rituals people undertake, even if it's just a weekly shop at their local comic book store, have semi-religious properties to them. They resemble religions, even if they are not themselves religions in practice. But the fourth way, and this is the most limited one, but this is the one I'm keeping my eye on, keeping track of most prominently, is comics becoming religion. And this is rarest, I would definitely say. But as we start to give characters and properties from this medium greater and greater meaning, greater and greater reverence, I think we can start to talk at least theoretically about comics serving a religious purpose, that the reading and enjoyment of comics being on some level a transcendent experience.
When you say you're keeping your eye on this, do you have a specific example in mind? Because I think you're right that the comics as religion is fascinating, and I think I'm glad that you're paying attention to it.
Yeah, the example I have in mind actually comes more out of science fiction.
Okay.
You could point to Scientology with L. Ron Hubbard's followers, or you could even look to people identifying in real life as Jedi or followers of Frodo from Lord of the Rings. But I will say one thing I'm exploring is whether or not there is this potential for comics at some point offering up what will later, at some distant point, be regarded as a sacred text.
Interesting. And I hadn't heard of the followers of Frodo before. That's a new one for me.
Oh, it does. It got the most popularity, the most press, when the Lord of the Rings movies were first coming out, debuting in theaters. But yeah, there's been some discussion of that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also curious, because a lot of this, what you're describing, at least with the case of the Jedi and the followers of Frodo, are kind of emerging out of fan culture. And how much of that is the foundation of the possibility of comics as religion, stemming from basically the entire political economy around comics?
I would say not exclusively, but largely.
Okay.
Right? You have to remember that pre-internet, these fan zines, these fan communities did start to have a degree of mortal reverence for certain artists and certain writers, and even, in another sense, certain counterculture figures. When we think of R. Crumb, of Harvey Pekar, and then Art Spiegelman, who came into mainstream attention when Mouse, his collected works on his father's experience of the Holocaust and him being the son of a Holocaust survivor, was given a special Pulitzer.
Yeah.
So I would say that these fan communities were an origin point for this culture, whether it's the comic shop culture, the online culture, the convention culture, which is actually, I think, right now at its zenith, right now at its most visible and powerful. They played integral parts in forming this potency around comics and around these mythos.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So everyone's been paying attention to Ms. Marvel, and then therefore religion has been kind of discussed with regards to comics. But this isn't a new trend. So what are some of the changes you've seen in the ways that religions are depicted or engaged in comics over time?
Well, I definitely say that religions are being played less straight than ever before. And what I mean by that is, if you saw a reference to religion in comic books, in, let's say, mainstream comic books, in, let's say, the 1970s and early 1980s, they would either be largely evangelical, that is, the purpose of mentioning religion is to sell that particular religion to the reader,
yeah,
or they'd largely be straw men, right? They'd be caricatures,
okay,
of the religion, used in the most general and most sweeping sense. I think the change we've seen most, even though those two approaches still exist, obviously, is that there's been a recognition that some contingent of comic book readers, some portion of the audience, can deal with nuance, can deal with complexity, that works like Alan Moore's Promethea can get into some of the theological details regarding Kabbalistic lore or regarding occult magic. So I think that's been a significant change. And some of the cooler mainstream titles over the last decade or so have really teased at these threads. Grant Morrison's Invisibles comes to mind. Also his work on Batman, where he can bring in some very esoteric religious idea that goes way beyond the basic catechism, goes way beyond the basic five pillars of Islam, goes into a particularly deep level, and then laces it into an adventurous storyline.
So it's not just a matter of comics kind of reflecting this need to have a better religious literacy or religious exposure. Do you think it's kind of exploring and, in a way, playing with religion?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's more the latter.
Okay.
Few of these cases, and I'm not going to say none, but few of these cases are set on educating the reader in a religion, because at that point there is the double-edged sword of advocating that religion, and
mm-hmm.
then you get into the more evangelical and proselytizing works, which do exist, as I said. But I think there has been more appeal for taking unknown elements of religion, overlooked elements of religion, more fantastic elements of religion, and weaving them into stories that does have an appeal for readers who think maybe they've seen it all. I mean, I liken it in many ways to how we've seen an explosion of quantum physics appearing in comic books, usually fictional comic book adventures. This doesn't mean the population at large is interested in quantum physics, but they love the idea that, okay, we're used to superheroes getting their powers through mutations, or we're used to them getting it through atomic radiation. Here's a whole new avenue of fantastic thought based on something in the real world of which they know but don't have expertise.
We've also kind of been talking about is the implicit ways in which religion has appeared in comic books. And I'm wondering if the ways, if this is actually noticeable to most people, and it's not just, you know, people like us who have kind of this religious literacy, and more importantly, the visual literacy for religious narratives and religious stories, that we're just sitting there reading these and we can see all the implicit religion, but is it, do you think the broader audiences can see this too?
I think some broader audiences can, and that's not my commenting on their level of literacy. I think it has more to do with which genre you're attracted to.
Okay.
If you're a reader of autobiographical comics, of things like Fun Home, Persepolis, Mouse, and so forth, then, yeah, the religious matter is overt, and there's some appeal to that, that these are real-life people, and adding further dimensionality to them makes the story richer. If we're talking about manga, perhaps, I would also say yes, that there is a definite draw towards mythic and divine storylines that have translated originally into for Japanese audiences and then sort of trickled down to American or English manga readers. When it comes to superheroes, I think it's there and it's desired implicitly rather than explicitly. And I'll explain what I mean. I think if you were to ask readers of Marvel comics and DC comics, even Image comics, over the last several years, what they've noticed and been attracted to, they would definitely comment on these universal reboots, how they've been redoing the entire storyline, restarting the universe, and in doing so have started just to lightly touch upon ontological issues and started to touch upon cosmogenical issues about questions that are very, very, very close to either philosophy of religion or to theology. I don't think that the readers, the audience members are saying, oh, good, I can't wait to see how they incorporate Calvinism into this issue. I can't wait to see how Captain America takes on Max Weber. I don't know. But I do think that the issues that religion deals with overtly are being dealt with just below the surface or right at the surface of these adventures. I think it's sort of betraying an anxiety / interest about the same material.
So do you kind of see in a way that these reboots and what you're just mentioned is kind of a way of comic books participating and engaging in this sacred secular divide of bringing religion kind of back into a secular space, for instance?
possibly it. I see it in two ways. First of all, the tools that are being used to tell these stories smack of religious history. I mean, you can say retcon or reboot. That's the terminology we'll use in superhero comics. But you could also say midrash.
Okay.
Or you could say hadith.
Mm-hmm.
So the way in which the companies and the creators are dealing with these stories, I see as very similar to when you have a massive collection of mythic stories and time has passed and generations are passing, how do you corral all of them? I think the point you were mentioning, I do think that particularly superhero comics, but also some sci-fi and fantasy comics that don't have any spandex in them, are negotiating the secular-sacred divide because they focus on the fantastic.
Okay.
And even if it's the fantastic, or maybe another term would be the transcendent,
mm-hmm.
Even if they focus on that through science or through magic or through space travel, I do think that's what brings the religious issues into a secular comfort zone.
How so? What do you mean by like a secular comfort zone?
Well, let me try to pull on maybe a useful example. I just used the reboots as an example, but maybe a better one would be Thor. Now, Thor has become very popular of late because the Asgardian god of the storms of lightning and thunder is now a movie property, right? Mm-hmm. And by Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
But in the comics, you do have this issue of what makes a god a god. What do we mean by divinity here? What separates the mortal from the immortal? Is it just long life? Is it some degree of power, of wisdom? And I think it's in a space of following Thor's adventures with, and I don't mean to say that so tongue-in-cheek, it's a fun, great book, but what hooks the secular audience is the adventure.
Okay.
And what may be allowing them to interface with sacred matters, with theological matters, with spiritual matters, is what this lens points them to. A recent storyline in Thor has actually the character of Thor deemed unworthy. He can no longer hold his hammer Mjolnir because he has done something unworthy. Now, I'm going to give a spoiler alert here to your audience. Maybe they should fast forward 30 seconds if they don't want to learn what the big reveal of what made him unworthy was.
All right.
What made him unworthy was his secretly held belief that the Asgardian gods themselves are unworthy.
Interesting.
So you entered into this great discussion of what if a god considers gods ungodly.
Yeah.
Now, that gets shaped around this big suspense story of, oh, will he get the hammer back? How will he maintain his power? What if his enemies come after him? But that allows the conversation to enter into this hybrid space, this amalgamated space, which I just want to add, comics as a medium, now we're going beyond genre, as a medium, I think, and I've long been drawn to them because I think they're the perfect space for this type of conversation.
Uh-huh.
They're a hybrid medium themselves, being both word and image. So the idea that they're also allowing for some secular sacred bridge entirely makes sense. It's baked into the DNA of sequential art.
Well, and I think that's a good point to bring up, especially since this sacred secular binary is, I mean, it's false to some extent too, and so
yeah.
by intervening in this middle space and using a medium that's perfectly built for it, I think it does exactly what you mentioned earlier of bring people who are so, you know, standoffish to what we classify as the sacred into their secular safe space and help them recognize that there isn't a real division. It's a division we create to make ourselves feel comfortable. You know, because you were using Thor as an example, and I know previously you had mentioned another comic book character, one that I'm actually not familiar with, that you thought to be an interesting example within this kind of religion, dealing with religion in a secular way. I think it's, correct me if I'm mispronouncing, Kismet?
Kismet, yeah. Yeah. Well, Kismet is extremely dear to me because I'm, when I'm not doing scholarship on comics, I'm writing his new adventures. So the reason Kismet appeals to me greatly is he was an oddity. I didn't create Kismet. Kismet is the first recognized Muslim superhero in U.S. comic books. Dates back to 1944. And the great and weird thing about him was not only did he only show up in four issues and then disappeared for 70 years. I mean, we got four issues with Kismet in it, and then the character fell into the public domain.
Huh.
But he was treated, he was depicted with a strange, one would even say anachronistic reverence. This wasn't an entirely cartoony depiction of a Muslim during World War II, but actually a kind of noble depiction. He did have the outrageous outfit, bare-chested and wearing a fez and a cape, and he did sometimes have lines like, "By Muhammad's bones." But at the same time, the creators recognized the possibility and the reality of heroism for an Islamic character, for a Muslim character. So that greatly attracted me when I was doing research on the earliest depiction of Islam in the superhero genre. It goes back further if you go outside the genre, but while I was focusing on superheroes here, I found him. And I was so attracted to this character that I just started to think up new adventures for him, where he's gone for 70 years, how he would operate in the modern context and in a secular space. If you were to bring an Algerian Muslim fighting Nazis in France from World War II to modern-day Boston just after the Marathon bombing, how would he even operate? Mm-hmm. How would he relate to this new era? So you have the Captain America twist, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's been in ice or he's been offline or whatever. He's a man out of time. But I was really intrigued and found myself just generating really enjoyable stories about how he could function in 2016-2017.
We've spent a lot of time talking about superheroes and the superheroes who are gods, such as Thor, but in your answer to the first question I asked you, you listed a couple different ways in which comics engage with religion, and how different genres of comics engage with religion. Is there a specific one that that stands out to you, or that you kind of enjoy reading the most or studying?
Well, I keep close track and get a lot of pleasure out of reading Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't to privilege Muslim characters here at all. I think it's just the scarcity of them makes reading them that much more enjoyable. In terms of other superhero characters with religious aspects that really do speak to me, I would have to go back, actually, to Adam Warlock. This is a 70s superhero, right? But he was operating on this cosmic level and opposing the Universal Church of Truth, which was itself this totalitarian, fascistic It was basically fascism plus religion. Outside of superheroes, I do have to say, I know you asked specifically about superheroes, but one comic that I am following so closely and adoring for its take on religion is the Image comic East of West, which basically imagines a very different world if the Civil War never exactly ended, but instead you're having different sub-nations in North America, in the United States, that have their own faith systems and moral structures and prophecies about how the world is going to end. And East of West is all about how this world is ending, and it is fulfilling prophecy. So it doesn't say it's overtly religious in any way, because the religions it's talking about don't exist in our real life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an end of the world, an apocalyptic scenario following some prophecy, then you can't avoid the religious material. So that's been very appealing and squarely in my sights. One last series that recently ended, but I was following, which was much more real world. It was fictional, but was set in our reality, was Sheriff of Babylon by Tom King, and addressing how U.S. soldiers and Iraqis engaged with each other after the fall of Saddam Hussein. And that was a fantastic, and I think drawn very much from his own real-life experience. It was a fantastic series.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought up non-superhero, because I guess I didn't articulate it very well, but I was asking about outside the superhero genre. So I'm glad you brought up East of West and the Sheriff of Babylon, but I was thinking about, because you had mentioned to the beginning of this conversation some of the autobiographical comics, and I'm also, and I also know there are non-superhero comics that are, dealing with religion, such as Preacher. Or I know you and I previously have spoken about Punk Rock Jesus, which I haven't read yet, but it is on my to-read list.
Oh, it's worth reading. another one that's worth reading, and I think its uniqueness is what stands out to me. There's a pretty famous comic book artist and writer named Mike Allred, and he's best known for doing quirky superhero characters for Marvel and for DC. He did X-Force for a while, and then X-Statics for some time. I believe he's doing Silver Surfer right now. But he's also a devout Mormon.
Hmm.
And you might not pick that up from his work, which is fine. You know, not all work has to be infused with religious themes or matter, although you might look at Silver Surfer differently. But he did his own golden plates. He did his own comic book visualization of the sacred text of the Mormon religion. I have not seen this anywhere else.
No.
So I can't speak, and I'm not going to make a judgment on whether or not the Church of Latter-day Saints storyline is compelling or not. That's not my place to say, but just to see it visualized from a comics professional rather than the other way around, rather than someone, a religiously devout person, trying their hand at comics,
mm-hmm.
Attempting it for the first time and maybe for the only time, that's really been something extraordinary, and it's very hard to find. It's only been published in rather limited quantities, but an eBay search may turn it up.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to go scour the internet for that one. Clowns need a backhand. Let's be the Gap Band. Drop the bomb on them and make them scat, man. When you say scat, man, like the brother corrupt. Uh-huh. When it's on, it's cold, so bring the core and the cover. We can take it to the basement. Live with Tigger. Go get the Riddler. And watch me play that like a fiddler. Before we end, do you want to explain how those interested in religion and comics can be more engaged with the work that you do and the work that others do?
I would only say, you mentioned it at the outset, which is terrific. We have a very loose-knit, relaxed group of comic book scholars and religion scholars, and you can use the word scholars as flexibly as you want, called Sacred and Sequential. If people are interested in learning more about it, they can go to sacredandsequential.org. If they're interested in participating, being part of future conferences, we're going to be talking this fall at the American Academy of Religion about the book I co-edited, but it's a full panel, Responses to Muslim Superheroes. That's the only thing I point out, and I just suggest people keep their eyes open, because this is happening all around us and is going to, I think, surprise us soon, you know, within a generation, how prevalent it's really become, mm-hmm. how ubiquitous, even. The question at some point will be, what isn't religion in comics, rather than what is?
Well, I hope to see that. I'm excited for it. And thank you so much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.
You're a nerd.
A nerd.
You're a nerd.
This episode's religion nerd moment actually comes from my first Comic-Con experience. So, through chance, I was invited to participate in a fan panel about the TV show The Expanse, which is on the Sci-Fi Channel, if you didn't know. And in this fan panel, we all talked about different aspects of the show, and of course, being the religion nerd that I am, I talked about religion. And actually, just recently, religion news service reporter Kimberly Winston published a story about Mormons in the TV show The Expanse. But I didn't talk so much about the Mormons in space angle during the panel as much as I talked about kind of the broader religious themes around salvation and redemption and things like that. I highly recommend you take a look at the TV show. Season 3 will be coming out soon. And perhaps I will be working on a blog post about religion in the Expanse. I have an idea for a larger Scholastic project relating to religion and pop culture that I'll deal with that show, so maybe I'll put out some brainstorming ideas on the blog. Thanks for listening to this episode of Holy Media. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at holymedia.com. There you'll be able to find links to some of the comics that David and I talk about, and to his websites, particularly Sacred and Sequential. You can also start a conversation about this episode's topic on Twitter using the show handle @holymedia, or by commenting on the episode post on the website. If you enjoy listening to Holy Media while walking your dog or on the bus, I really ask that you rate and comment about the show on iTunes and Stitcher. For you avid podcast listeners, you know that these ratings help others discover the show, and you know you want to share the awesomeness that is Holy Media with everyone else. And if you leave a review, I'll make sure to give you a shout-out on the next episode. Music in this episode is by Kevin McLeod, The Ramones, Moe, Snoop Dogg, and The Traits. You can find links to their work in the show notes. And, as always, you can find the show on SoundCloud, the iTunes podcast app, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hey listeners, I'm back for a quick second. So, in our conversation that was edited out, unfortunately, David let me know that he does some work with a nonprofit related to comics, and I wanted to give him a chance to explain these efforts and the organization in his own words. So take a listen.
I'm also using comics, I have to admit, for not, I wouldn't call it religious purposes, but it does affect a particular religious community. And this is the work that I'm doing with the nonprofit organization CIRIC,
okay,
which stands for Comics for Youth Refugees Incorporated Collective. What we're doing is actually taking Syrian folklore, which does have religious overtones to it, creating comic books out of that and printing and releasing it free of cost to Syrian refugee children. And they are not 100% monolithically Muslim in any way, but it has affected Muslim and families practicing Islam predominantly, that is the diaspora out of Syria. So I think it's fair to say that I'm just as much as I'm looking at narratives about religion and negotiating the religious secular space, I'm also working with an audience that has definite religious experience and overtones. I'm stuck in the middle, right in the middle,
dead in the middle anyway. And this is Holy Media.